Welcome to the Healthpreneur Show with Uriel Keim. We're so glad you're here. Every episode, we're going to bring advice and conversations with experts that will help you grow your health business. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Uri here, wearing the spectacles today. I'll tell you about that in a second. I'm joined by a really special guest, local Torontonian, another amazing health expert influencer doing some amazing things and has been doing amazing things in the health space for many, many years. Her name is Joy McCarthy. She's a holistic nutritionist and founder of joyoushealth.com, which is an award-winning website focused on healthy living. She's a lover of nourishing and delicious food. She was actually just telling me she just whipped out some amazing pancakes and coconut whipped cream, and now I'm starving. That aside, she's the author of 3 best-selling cookbooks, including Joyous Health, the Joyous Health Cookbook, and Joyous Detox, and a World Gourmand Cookbook Award recipient. She's also the co-host of the podcast named The Joyous Health Podcast, along with her husband, Walker. And if you guys are not listening to it, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and wherever else you guys listen to the podcast. So with that said, Joy, welcome to the Healthpreneur Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we started off just kind of chatting about Toronto and a bunch of stuff, and we're talking about like our blue blocking or blue light blocking glasses. So we're like, yeah, let's just put them on and we'll go with that.
It looks so stylish now.
100%. That's why you get the glasses. So Joy, I'm excited to have you here because you've been around for a long time and done some great stuff. How did it all start for you? Like everyone in this space is, I love it because we all have our own issues that really prompted us into health. Like, what was the thing for you that got you into the health field?
Yeah. So I feel like I have been a student of nutrition my whole life. I've always been very interested in food and making recipes, even from when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I remember my mom would just let me, you know, go in the kitchen, mess around and make something. And then when I was a teen, I became very interested in fitness. And so I feel like I've always been keenly interested in wellness. And then something kind of went sideways, you know, in my late teens, early 20s, I started to develop some health issues. I had a lot of digestive problems. I had anxiety. My hair was thinning. So of course I went to the doctor. Like I had all these wild symptoms. What could it possibly be? Did some blood work. And it was determined that I had hormonal imbalance, which is very, very, very common. But back then, cause this was in the 90s, you know, it wasn't so common. It was like, here, take this birth control pill. Here, take this pill for your digestive woes. Here, take this pill for your anxiety. Go away. And so, you know, I wasn't getting better. I was certainly, you know, popping Tums every day. Didn't understand why I was bloated, constipated, had heartburn. Yet I was like, but I am so healthy. Like I've spent my whole life being focused on wellness. Like, why is this happening to me? But this was before I had even studied nutrition. So even though I thought I knew a lot, I didn't. So this went on for quite a few years, and it wasn't until I actually really started digging in and researching and learning about the body from a more holistic perspective and natural health, and started reading books like Christiane Northrup. I remember years ago, I don't remember one of her first books, but I read a book all about women and hormones. Anyhow, so long story short is I was able to heal myself, get off medications, and had like a complete life transformation. And that was the catalyst and this took years for me to get to that point, because that was the catalyst for me to leave what I was currently doing. So in my 20s, I, you know, worked for an advertising agency. I did that for like 7 years. So that was the catalyst, you know, to finally say, I need to like go do something with this. I need to go back to school, study nutrition, follow my passion, because if I can heal my body, then I must be able to help other people that are suffering from the same thing.
Awesome. So it's so good. It's such a great story. And that's why I love helping health professionals, because we all come from a place of wanting to help ourselves or someone close to us. And then obviously many, many more people. So how did it start for you? Like, how did you start? Like, did you start from day one with the blog and recipe creation, or was that like an evolution from something else?
Yeah. So when I graduated, so I went to IHN, Institute of Holistic Nutrition. And when I graduated, I knew because I had a little bit of a marketing background. That's what I originally went to school for. I knew that one of the key things to get my name out there was to create awareness for my brand. I am a personal brand, even though I'm a holistic nutritionist, but if I wanted to get my business and my brand out there and start seeing clients and seeing and helping people, then I needed to do things to create awareness. So that was, okay, I started a blog. So that was the first thing I did. So that was about 11, 12 years ago. I started blogging and just started sharing recipes. And then from that, I decided that I really, you know, wanted to speak more. So I started reaching out to like local cafes, and saying, hey, I'm a nutritionist. Can I just come in and do a free talk? Because I wanted to just create more awareness for Joyous Health and get people to come back to my blog. And so, yeah, it started with the blog. And then as social media grew, that was a great opportunity for me to be sharing more. And it was always in the basis of education. It was never like, hire me, I'm going to help you do X, Y, Z. It was always, let me teach you about how you can heal your gut, which could heal your eczema. Let me teach you about how you can reduce inflammation and perhaps, you know, help your hormones and your acne and your hair loss. So, you know, from back then when I started to today in 2021, Joyous Health has always really been about educating people first and foremost. And then I have found that people find me because I'm providing that information. And I have been criticized in the past, like, Joy, you give so much away for free. Aren't you worried that people are just going to read your blog or like, you know, download your free ebook and then not actually buy anything from you? And I don't really care. Like if someone reads every single, you know, post I have about eczema and they're able to heal their body themselves, then fantastic. I don't care if they never buy my body butter or they don't buy a product. I'm none the wiser. I'm just happy that I was somehow able to help them. So I think that, you know, all along my journey in business, it's always been about share the information and the people will come. They'll appreciate you, what you have to offer. And then because I've shared that, then hopefully they buy things from me. Like, because I am, this is a business. Yeah, and, totally. You know, we sell books, we sell products and online programs. So yeah, it's always been, the basis has been in education.
Yeah. It's a common concern that some people have is like, I don't want to give my best stuff away for free.
Yeah, totally.
The way I see it is like, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. So like the more people consume your stuff, the more likely they want to do business with you because they just resonate with something that it is you're doing. And so like when you look at your trajectory, because when I started in 2006 and when I started blogging, okay. I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but it took me a long time to get traction with our content. What did those early days look like with your blog? Like how long did it take you to get traction? And you know, how did you get through some of those times where was there doubts where it's like, man, is this thing working? Like, is anyone seeing this? How did you get through that?
Yeah, I definitely had those doubts for sure. And, you know, it's amazing how, without being too woo-woo, it's amazing how the universe works because I feel like whenever I was having those doubts, like, oh, is anyone actually reading this? No one comments on my, you know, my latest blog post or whatever. Then I would just get some random email from someone across the pond, someone in the UK or someone in the States. Hey, Joy, you know, I made this recipe and I loved it. Or Joy, I read this article that you wrote and it just really helped me. So I found that I celebrated those as like really mini successes that someone that I was helping someone and that people were actually reading it. But there was definitely many times that I was like, wow, like, is my information even getting out there? And it started out like, just like you, it started out as a blog and it took me to get traction. I feel like one of the things that helped me was I was also making myself available to do writing for other people. So I was doing a bit of online writing for AOL. I was going to say AOR, which is a supplement company. Does AOL even exist anymore? I'm dating myself now.
I don't even know.
Yeah, what's writing. I was doing some recipe development and writing health articles for a fitness and nutrition website that no longer exists. And I was getting paid, like, I might as well have done it for free, but I was doing it because they had tons of traffic And I knew if I did that, I'm like, okay, this is great. I'll do this. And this will bring traffic to Joyous Health, which it 100% did. So I wasn't just focused on, I was absolutely focused on building Joyous Health, but I knew I had to do these other things in order to create more awareness for Joyous Health so people could find me. So it took, I'd say it felt like it took maybe a year and a half, 2 years to feel like, okay, I've got a good, you know, I'm getting a good subscriber base. But then it took like much, it took definitely more years than that to like really grow Joyous Health. And we're still like always, like we're always like looking at ways to innovate and grow. And it's never, it's like never a dull moment.
Yeah, totally. You're smart though, because you went where the fish are. As opposed to like the mistake I made is like, I'm going to live in my own bubble and I'm just going to write and blog and hopefully people will see it. That didn't work out too well. So I think that's a great example of where, you know, for a lot of health professionals who do want to contribute content is maybe don't do it all in your blog to start. Like put it out there where other eyeballs are.
I really recommend
build that traction. It's super smart.
Yeah, because, and you know, I feel like so many practitioners get stuck in that, oh, I'm just creating really great content. People are going to find me. I have beautiful photography on my Instagram. People are just going to find me. It doesn't work that way. And there's so many different strategies. I mean, just to grow your Instagram, if you're a nutritionist or a naturopath and you love food and you're creating recipes and beautiful photography, then you want to, you know, start creating. A simple thing you could do, a strategy would be creating great recipes and using like one or two superfoods and then reaching out to that company, say it's Organic Traditions, and being like, hey, I used your maca powder. Would you like to share this? And then all of a sudden you know, if they say yes, then they're sharing it with their community and that is helping you to grow.
Yeah, smart. Just like thinking collaboratively as opposed to independently. And then, so you started writing cookbooks.
Yeah.
And why did you decide to go that route? And those are published, right? As opposed to self-published?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that, because a lot of people want to write a book.
Yep.
But as you know, it's a huge endeavor. And how did you know that it made sense for you in terms of like the time you're going to put into it? And obviously the publisher having faith in you to be able to sell enough copies. Walk us through that process.
Yeah, so it's a great question. So with my cookbooks, with all three of them, I actually... Of course, we all want to write a book. And, you know, it wasn't like I graduated from school and I was like, okay, by, you know, year three or four of my business, I want to write a book. I didn't have that like mindset because honestly, I was just like so focused on like just the day-to-day of growing the business and working on the marketing of the business. So that opportunity 100% came to me because I was very focused on creating content for Joyous Health and sharing it on social media and growing my community. And so my publisher reached out to me and said, hey, like, actually was an editor at Penguin. And she's like, my niece really likes your blog. And she suggested, do you want to meet and have tea or coffee and just chat? And I was like, whoa, okay. So I would have never been on her radar had I not already spent a couple of years building Joyous Health. So I know that all the work that I had put into, you know, creating a presence on social media and building the community for my blog was the sole reason that she even knew about me. Mm-hmm. So Penguin Random House is my publisher. They asked me if I was interested in writing a book, and I was actually just set to release my first ebook. And I had realized, and the reason, I guess this was back in, I want to say 2012, I realized that I needed to grow. I don't think ebooks and digital products are a passive source of income because you still have to actually like promote it. Mm-hmm. But let's just call it that for the sake of that's where my mindset was. So I was like, I'm going to create an ebook because I want to create a passive source of income because I'm getting burned out from doing one-on-ones. I want to just sell something on my website. So I had started writing this ebook based on this course that I was teaching. So when I met with this publisher, I was like, oh, I'm releasing an ebook in about 2 weeks. And she was like, don't do that. Send it to me. I want to see it. So that was called Eat Well, Feel Well. And that turned into my first cookbook, Joyous Health, which is Eat and Feel Well Without Dieting. So she was so impressed with it that she was like, let's make that a cookbook. And the only reason that I had subsequent cookbooks is because the success of my first cookbook. So of course it's really, you know, comes down to, you know, a financial decision with publishers. Like, is there going to be profit in this person making a second cookbook or not?
Yeah.
Of course there's pros and cons to doing self-publishing and versus having a publisher. Like a self-publisher, you don't have to wait, right? You don't have to wait for someone to come along and say, we believe in you and we want you to create a book. So I think there's benefits of that too. But the nice thing with having a publisher is that you have that distribution, right? Then you know, you're going to be in Indigo and Barnes and Noble and all those types of things. But you know, if you're self-publishing, then all of the money is in your pocket, all of the creative license, everything to do with your book is exactly how you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily the case when you're working with a publisher.
When I wrote my third book with Rodale, it was a cookbook.
And oh, amazing. What's your cookbook?
The All Day Fat Burning Diet Cookbook, which was basically just like a stipend to the All Day Fat Burning Diet. It was a two-book deal.
Very cool.
And so all the recipes, because I realized like not all diet authors make their own recipes. I'm like, it's kind of suspicious, right? You kind of know the space, right? I was like, no, like all these recipes are mine. And I said, it's a great cookbook. I submitted it to Rodale, 45,000 words. And they said, this is great. We just need another 20,000 words. I was like, why? I've said everything I can say. And so what I did is I actually took some of my best blog posts and I just copy pasted them, put them in the cookbook and kind of fit them in.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So that's an example of like, when you're with a publisher, there's certain constraints that as a self-published author, you can, you know, do whatever you want. But what are, in your experience, like what are some things that like people watching or listening to this who are thinking of like, I've got a book or I've just spent the last 5 years finishing my book. I want to get published. Like, what are some things people might not be aware of that they should be aware of when it comes to writing or publishing a book?
Okay. Well, if you're creating recipes, I can't say enough the importance. And by the way, just for the record, just to put it out there, I only learned that people do that, pay people to make recipes for them with my most recent book. Someone told me that. I'm the only one who's ever created my recipes. And my mind was like blown. I was like, what?
I know. I never understood that either. I'm like, I understand why they're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it too.
Like integrity. I'm like, I don't know, but
yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I guess if you're like 15, 20 books down the line, you're famous chef. Okay. But I don't know. I just assume Jamie Oliver, like I personally think that Jamie Oliver makes all his own recipes.
I'd hope so.
Yeah. But back to your question. Sorry. You were saying like, what, can you just repeat your question? I went off on a tangent there.
So what do people not know about the publishing or book industry that they should, if they're considering going that route?
Okay. Well, there's a couple things and it obviously depends on your contract, but you may find, and it's not going to be like a straight line. It's not like you write this book, your heart and soul went into it, all your education, all your research. Don't expect that that's actually what the manuscript is going to look like when it's printed. Like when I wrote Joyous Detox, the first section had so much science and so much information about detoxification. And then my publisher thought it was really boring and like a massive chunk left, poof. So I think people need to understand that if you want to have full control over what's in your book, then it's best to self-publish. That being said, like editors, as you already know, you have a few books now. Editors are also amazing too. Like they will also, you know, give you suggestions to make your book even better. You may not always agree with them. I think it's for someone who's like very controlling and very sensitive over the information they write, then that's going to be hard for you to write a book with a publisher. Like you have to like set your ego aside and let them give you advice because they've been publishing books, you know, for decades. So I think you have to understand that when you're working with a publisher, that the finished piece is going to be not dramatically different, but it depends what you're writing, but is going to be, there will be some differences from what you originally created. And it may be, and it also in a way has to, some publishers want it to be very collaborative. Like with my second cookbook, Joyous Detox, my publisher approached me with that one as well. And was like, we want you to write a book on detox. Cause I was running an online detox program. I had never even thought, okay. Then I was like, oh yeah, well that kind of makes sense. But you know, it can go both ways. You can go to them with an idea, or they can come to you with an idea. So I think that's important to recognize. And this is a small thing, but I think it's a big thing for a lot of people. When you work with a publisher, you don't have the final say typically on your book cover. And I don't know if you did when you wrote your book with Rodale publisher, but a lot of people like really get like, you know, because I have a lot of friends who have had published books and people don't like that. But if you want to have, you know, that total control over your book, then the best thing to do is self-publish.
Yeah. And the other thing you mentioned is like you had spent years building your platform already. Like yes. You didn't get a book deal fresh out of the womb.
No following. Way. No.
Probably wouldn't have happened, right?
No, it definitely wouldn't have happened. And I know it only happened because I was on their radar because I had been I had been out there on social media. And I knew, because I have that marketing background, that if I want people to find me, I can't just be, you know, at my kitchen table, you know, writing away on my blog and just thinking that people are going to find it. I had to be, you know, finding ways that I could really get the message out there. And I think, you know, something in 2010, it was actually my New Year's resolution to go on YouTube and, you know, start sharing more like more content on there so that people could see my face and get to know who I am. And that was, you know, that was I made that decision specifically. That was a business decision. I was like, I need to be on YouTube so that more people can find me and they can find Joyous Health. And if I never did that, the other opportunities would have never happened. Like I was doing the Global TV morning show. I started doing that in 2011. And you know how they found me? They Googled Toronto Holistic Nutritionist and my YouTube channel popped up. They reached out to me and they're like, Joy, do you want to come and do some nutrition segments for us? I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? And so that's how that happened.
That's awesome. That's great. You're just putting yourself out there, putting great information out there. And like, I think there's a lot of value in longevity, like just being around long enough, good things.
Yes. Come to life, right? Yes. Yeah. Just like working away, just like plugging away, staying level-headed. I think that's really key. Not getting like, you know, taken away by the highs when things are going great or when you're down in the dumps. You just really have to like, I think that's one thing that I've always tried to do in business is just really stay level-headed. Like when things are going great, okay, get back to business. I got to start working again. Just because I have a book, my first book was a bestseller in Canada. I'm like, okay, well, I now have to get back to work because it's not a bestseller in any other country. And I need to get back to work. So yeah, just like, you know, it's work. It's hard work sometimes. It's definitely hard.
So how do you deal with challenges in business? Like 2020, obviously, was an interesting year. Or even before that, like how have you navigated, or what was the challenging? Like, what's, you know, maybe one big challenging moment that you can think of in your journey, and how did you manage to kind of stay level-headed through that?
Yeah, so I feel like there's been sort of different, as you know, like being an entrepreneur. It's never like a straight line. I mean, especially even with like your revenue, like some months you're doing really, really great. Other months are harder. And then sometimes you're sailing. And then I think, you know, just comes back staying level-headed. But also something that we always do at Joyous Health is we really listen to the community. You know, I'm not just going to write another ebook if like people are not interested in paying like $25 to like download some PDF with a bunch of recipes. I don't really know. Like people want that for free now.
Yeah, it's so a blog post now.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. What's been really key and what we've always done at Joyous Health is we've listened to what the community wants. You know, if people, and we have to marry that with what I'm passionate about creating, whether it's a product or, you know, tangible or a digital product. So, you know, when people were always asking me back in like 2012, 2013, people were always asking me about products. So, and not asking me for another ebook. So, and I started making my own products and talking about them. So then people were like, oh, can I buy those products? And I'm like, well, I don't sell them yet, but that's kind of how it started out. People were asking me, they were very curious about it. And that's, you know, eventually why we ended up doing that. So I always listen to the community. like really pay attention to what are the things that they are asking for. And if there's something new that we want to create, then I pull the community. Like I use our Facebook community and I use Instagram whenever we're going to launch something. Like in January 2020, last year, before we knew COVID was a thing, we were planning on launching a few new products, body care products in 2020. So I like pulled everyone. I was like, would you rather a soap? Would you rather a body wash, XYZ? And so, you know, that's basically how we develop things. Like what are people really interested in having? So that has gotten us through the times when we're wanting to create new things and we don't really know what people are interested in. We just ask them.
That's good. So what do you have now as like physical products?
Yeah. So we have about 12 or 13 products. We have a line of organic herbal teas that are made locally. What we call them wellness teas because they're for like a particular, not issue I want to say, but we have like a detox tea. We have, you know, a tea to help you wake up in the morning, very anti-inflammatory. Then we have body care and hair care. So we have shampoo, conditioner, dry shampoo, and then we have body butter. What else do we have, Walker? What, my hubby's in the background. I feel like I always forget stuff. And then we have our cookbooks, of course, as well. Yeah. But it's a small line of things. Like we don't have a lot of stuff, but we really focus on research and development. So before we released our dry shampoo, we were in like 4 to 5 months of R&D, figuring out the right formula. We've been in R&D for a lip balm for like so long that's still not released because we're not happy with it.
Yeah.
So it takes a long time to bring stuff out, but then it's really good quality. So we use organic ingredients, local when we can. We're really focused on better packaging, which we've been struggling with for our shampoo. It's right now in plastic recyclable packaging, but we've been trying to find different options because we would really like to not have any plastic.
That's awesome. Good for you. That's great. It's nice to have like, again, relatively smaller companies relative to like the L'Oreal's and the big giants,
yeah,
creating stuff that is, it's just like, there's more heart. There's more.
Yeah. It's just better quality. It's better quality. And I think, you know, no one's ever said to us like our body butter, which is a blend of different butters and oils, is $38. It's USDA certified organic. Hardly ever do people say to me, this is too expensive. Because they know that the quality is there and you're not going to get that from, you know, Shoppers Drug Mart brand. It's mass produced and it's just not, and there's, you know, preservatives and stuff. Like our stuff, it doesn't have the same kind of shelf life, you know, as a body butter that you buy from the body shop. But then it just doesn't have all the junk in. And I think people really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Joy, this has been great. Before we finish off, the best place for people to follow you online, joyoushealth.com.
Is that? Yeah, exactly.
And then Instagram.
Yep. Instagram, Joyous Health, and web, Facebook, Joyous Health. Just search Joyous Health.
There we go. Awesome. Joy, this has been great. Thank you so much for opening up and sharing a bit of your journey with us. I'm sure the listeners and viewers have gotten a lot of great value and some golden nuggets out of this one. Thanks for your time.
And thank you.
It's been great having you.
Great.
Thank you for joining us on The Coach's Corner. If you didn't know, inside of our private Facebook group, The Healthpreneur Hub, Yuri's show, The Coach's Corner, happens live every single morning with one goal, to help you grow your health business. If you want to hear more of The Coach's Corner, then click the link in the show notes to join The Healthpreneur Hub on Facebook for free. And if you want to know the four-step system that predictably fills a health business with qualified, ready-to-buy clients, we want to send you an invite to our free online masterclass. You can find that masterclass at healthpreneurgroup.com/show or by clicking the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on The Healthpreneur Show with Yuri Okine.